Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet for up to $500. Terms and conditions do apply, so go get the details at WynnBET.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. When you're sweating out your bets, remember to take some time to chill and grab the perfect cold refreshment, Coors Light. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is home to the Best Ball Mania 2 contest where you can win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. Sign up at UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. All right, welcome back, D-Gens, for a quick recap of the Colonial, and we're moving on to Murrayfield Village. It's myself, Boston Capper, and the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. Steve, we're recording a little late. It's Monday night. My Bruins are on. How you feeling? You ready?
I mean, I'm tired from the weekend. I spread out about 32 bags of mulch across Saturday and Sunday and prepped the backyard, all the yard work that I was saving, you know, till now. You look tired, too. You look sunburnt. Yep. Do you okay? Get the thunderbolt from Harry Potter world on your forehead right there.
It's good. Impressive weekend, yeah. Man. Took the kids, did the dad thing. And my oldest daughter was too cool for us, so she stayed back with her friends. Well, so I inherited 2 14-year-old girls who wanted to go with my second oldest daughter. So I had 3 14-year-old girls and my 2 littles. So that was fun.
I mean, you already have enough kids, and then you got to add 2 more of the mix. Like, yeah. Good guys, like the Brady Bunch going to Universal Studios there.
Well, the thing is it's fucking, I didn't even know the kids were coming. So when I booked the hotel room, usually we do like the 2 or 3 bedroom spot. And just because I need the space at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm not sitting in a fucking hotel room like with that many kids after I've been with them and sweating all day. And so I just got like the 1 bedroom with like the ensuite or whatever, not the ensuite, but like a living room area. So at least I could go chill while everybody else was sleeping. And then the other 2 kids are coming. So I end up upgrading and getting the 2 bedroom. Or whatever the hell, and it ended up like tripling my cost. I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, I would have picked a different room if I knew these other kids were coming. Like, I don't know. So it started off on the wrong foot.
By chill, do you mean get hammered and scream at the Bruins from the suite room?
Yes,
exactly. I know your lingo. So, I mean, so anyways, I didn't watch much of Colonial. I know Boston Capper didn't watch. We'll touch on some couple of highlights. So your boy, Jason Kokrak, you actually texted me, I think, on Tuesday, and I felt bad.
I did.
I was like, yeah, I don't know about him.
Yeah.
I got a message from one of our listeners who actually, based on the information we gave out, led him to Kokrak. So, you know, hey, at least we gave out we're on the right track. We just picked pretty terribly, like sometimes we do. But
yeah, it happens.
Yeah, but Kokrak gets the win. He putted his way to that victory. He was lights out all 4 days. And there was actually an article that came out, I think, on Golf Digest that, you know, he credited his improvement with the putter. And it all started last fall when he was, like, putting really well going into the CJ Cup, and he finally won there, and then he won this week. And what he did was he looked at all his strokes game metrics, and he's like, yeah, I was, like, 5th in tee to green, but I was 190th in putting. So I got with my putting manufacturer company. We did some tests, went in the lab, and, I mean, all of a sudden, now he's one of the better putters on the PGA Tour. And
it's been for a minute, too. Like, it's, like... he's been decent with the putter. It hasn't been like the old Kokrak, like the old Connors. You know what I mean? Like they were right. almost the same type of player.
Yeah, this has been a year now. So, I mean, he didn't have to go arm lock. He didn't do anything. He just made a couple tweaks with the putter, you know, directly from the manufacturer. And, you know, it kind of seems like your boy Keegan might want to do that.
Yeah, maybe seriously. He'll start winning again. Like, seriously. Like, I don't like it. Like, seriously, you have all these guys at your fingertips who will do anything you say and will be able to fix it. Like, just do it, man. Like, go use your resources. Like, what are you doing? Like, I don't know.
As soon as you hear Keegan went to his putter manufacturer and got a new putter, you're going to bet all the money on him.
All the monies. That's right.
All right. So I missed most of the collapse, but Spieth was terrible on Sunday. Do you have any takes about that?
I mean, look, I was walking around Universal. I had it up on my phone where I could look every once in a while. But you know how it is. Like, if you're not watching the whole tournament, you don't get the flow. And so I would just look, I would end up catching him on the green and just doing something terrible. Like, he just didn't look like himself. Like, I don't know. It seemed like when I was watching the leaderboard where I wasn't even watching it, like, it would seem like Kokrak was trying to give it up. And then it looks like Spieth was trying to give it up. It was a two-horse race at that point. Like, I don't know. I didn't watch it, so I don't know if Kokrak went and took it or Spieth gave it away. I really don't know. I know he went in the water on, what, 17?
I think 18, actually.
18? Even worse?
Yeah.
Like,
Well, I mean, Kokrak had a two-shot lead. I was like, all right, I'm going to go finish yard work and do that. But so I have Spieth stats, round four stats in front of me. They're pretty ugly. So
not bad.
So what do you think his best category was between putting, scrambling, approach play, off tee? Just what do you think? Just knowing Spieth. What do you think his best?
So the way you're framing it makes me want to go the opposite way. But normally I would say scrambling. But okay. it's probably off the tee.
Yeah, off the tee, gained a stroke.
Yeah,
exactly. So he drove the ball awesome.
Right.
He lost 2.3 strokes with his approach play. I'm guessing there's probably some penalty shots baked into that, but that was good. He lost about 0.6 with around the greens. He lost 0.4 putting. And, you know, the putting over the weekend has been kind of a trend now. Like, it kind of goes away from him. But the fact that, like, the irons just went away pretty quickly. Like, I want to think it's an anomaly, like, because the first 3 days were pretty good, but it's a little concerning. They, you know, that squirrely speed that we were kind of like all terrified of for 2 years, yeah. Still kind of in there.
Oh yeah, he's definitely still in there. Absolutely, yeah. You can't lose it that quick.
Right. So we'll see. I mean, he probably is going to be fine. Like, he's the most expensive player, DraftKings for the Memorial. We'll see where his ownership stands. We need to talk about Sergio Garcia, too. And so the first part is, we'll get to his collapse on Sunday. But so we talked, and I'm talking directly to my co-host here.
Yes, yes.
So we talked up Sergio all on the Tuesday pod. We liked him for DraftKings. We both had him outright. Like, I've had him 80-1. And I think you had 66-1, something like that.
Yeah, 66, yeah.
And then all of a sudden on Thursday, you start chirping about Chris Kirk. And little do I know, You had some gin in you on Wednesday night. You started tinkering, yeah, like you always do.
I did, yeah.
And you took out all your Sergio shares for Chris Kirk.
Not all of them, but enough of them.
Most of them.
Most of them, yes.
Explain yourself, sir.
Yeah, I mean, so basically, you know, I'm sitting there looking at the last lineups. I think I even texted you. It was like late Wednesday night. I was like, shit, I got to go fucking like finish putting in my lineups. And you know what I mean? And it's like, I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh, man, I got a lot of fucking Sergio. You know what I mean? Like, you're looking at the lineups. And so I think I made 10 lineups, right? And I'm like, I got Sergio and fucking 9 of these things. Like, I can't have 9 Sergio lineups, right? Because I'm looking at miscut. And I'm like, all right, I got to differentiate a little bit. But then you start drinking and tickering and messing around with the different lineups. Like, which one did I switch? And then I ended up like way overexposed to Chris Kirk because he was right around that same price point. He was popular. I was like, Steve likes him. Let's just go with him. He's popular for a reason, right? That's legitimately what happened on my back porch while I was smoking cigarettes at like midnight. I was like, yeah, I said, fuck it. Because I always think it was like way too much Sergio. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you see a player, even if you like him, especially a guy like Sergio, they could just tank all your shit. Like, you can't have that much of them. And it didn't matter anyway. I got like 5 or 6 through on fucking 90 of them. My 6 of 6 was straight garbage. So once again, next time I tell you that I think like I'm going to go extra heavy on fucking DFS, just remind me of this week. Like, because whenever I'm uncomfortable with my lineups, I do better. When I'm like, this is the fucking lock. It's like, you made $40. I'm like, well, I put $500 in. So that's not a good return.
That's a very negative ROI there. So, I mean, listen, I didn't even mention Chris Kirk. Kirk. I mean, I think that was your brain going back to, like, I don't know, February. I'm like, oh, you know, I love his story and everything like that. Well, I mean, the honeymoon on that story is over, and he's been playing kind of bad lately.
Yeah.
So, all right. Okay. Don't do that again.
Yeah.
What have I told you for the last 2 weeks? You need to trust your gut more.
Gut. I know. Look, I should have laid that bet on Coke Rack when I liked him. Like, I guess it was good I didn't lay the football bet on Speed.
That is actually, hey, I'm vindicated now. Thank you. You are vindicated. Total exoneration.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. I
do love. I love chirping you on Thursdays and Fridays, though. I do, just because it's so. It just makes me so. It makes me happy because I can picture you being like, "What? No, I didn't say that."
Listen, you know what? If you gotta blame me for shit, that you know, all your bad decisions, fine. All right, I can take it.
That's
you know?
Fine.
Heavy lies the crown, you know.
That's all right. That's right.
I got nothing else for Kelowna. You want to move on?
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? No, I think. I think you need to adjust your capo.
Yes, you shall. He's shelves, man. Like he's not getting clipped. He's not going on the boat, but he's going. He's not gonna be. He's not gonna be earning it anymore. He's gonna take a little while out. He's not collecting the routes anymore. No more drug money. No more gambling money. Like that's it. Like he's gonna sit out. Somebody else can come up and take his spot. I haven't decided who's gonna be running the crew as of now. I'll have a new replacement for Seawood, the captain, for tomorrow night's show. I'll figure out who's gonna run. Crew.
Is he gonna be in charge of shaking down the 7-Eleven owners, you know,
for
protection? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty far fall. Yeah, I worry with Siwoo because we've seen him where like he goes through like big, huge, just prolonged slumps. So he might be just persona non grata until we get back to like Wyndham or something. And then like
that long?
He gets bad quick. I mean, listen, we got the US Open coming. I don't think he's been good at Torrey. Open Championship where he's never been good.
Right.
And then we got like an Olympic break where he's going to go over and play that. I mean, I know you're going to play him there because you know he's got to avoid his military service.
That's so fucking crazy, by the way.
I know it is. So I know you're going to lay a big bet on him. And then after that's Wyndham and then FedEx, and that's the end of this season. And then we go right back to it. So
yeah, see, it's my wife says that. She's like, so does golf season ever end? I'm like, no. No, I mean, maybe like a 2 week break. I was like, I think, but I'm still betting on some random shit. So no, it doesn't fucking go on a break.
Yeah, we get a break around Thanksgiving, and we get about the December off.
Yeah,
unless we got. I mean, I don't know. Do you want to start covering the shark shootout? Because I don't really want to cover it.
I mean, it depends. Am I in a hole or am I up?
That's true. All right, maybe next year we'll do that. So all right, well, before we transition to the memorial, I think this is a good time to kind of reevaluate and look at the golf landscape. So I was talking to Boston Capper before this, and so every week I have this little like composite, call it a power ranking. So basically it just combines their long-term strokes gain with their short-term strokes gain. So basically it takes about their last 50 rounds. You know, I take 70% of that, take 30% of their short-term, and it gives me a nice little number. And this week's top 10 coming into this week is it's kind of messy. We're kind of in a weird place right now with golf. Like, there's some guys who are on a big heater for the last couple of months. Like, there's a couple of guys who just, you know, kind of struggle. A lot of top names are kind of struggling a little bit. So I'm going to go to the top 10. All right. So number 10, hanging on by a thread, is Dustin Johnson. And it's all his long-term stuff. His short-term stuff is not very good. He is free-falling, but, you know, he's still number 10 right now. Number 9, Matthew Fitzpatrick. He's been pretty good, just rock solid. I mean, he doesn't ever seem like he's been in the mix for a win.
Yeah.
He's always like top 15 or so. So he's there. Number 8, Bryson. I mean, he's pretty up and down. Like, what do you do?
We're going back this week to his blow up spot.
We are. Yeah. We're going back to the 10 that you got on the 15th there, which I don't think that area is around anymore, which we'll get to.
Oh.
But Bryson's 8th. He won Bay Hill. He finished 2nd of the players. You know, I mean, he's been pretty good. Number 7, Corey Connors, who's been on a huge heater lately. Yeah. But yeah, he's like Corey Connors, number 7 of like 200 golfers.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like,
good. Number 6, Paul Casey. I think he's still relying a little bit on what he did in the Middle East. I mean, he's been pretty good there. Number 5, and this is going to make Nagels Bagels unhappy, Abe Anser is number 5 golfer, basically, when you combine everybody's long-term and short-term, right? Have you looked at, like, his recent, like, form?
Yeah, well, he mean, whatever. He made the cut on the number. I was so far against him this week, and he ended up doing it. He made the cut on the number, which pissed me off because I had a missed cut bet, which was, like, plus 350 or something like that. I was like, fuck yeah, let's go. And he made it on the fucking number.
Well, he finished T14. He had three top tens before that. Like, now, Nagel's actually sent a disparaging text message to me about Abe Anser today that apparently he's playing over in Europe this week. He's dodging this field. Strong feeling he's going to play the Porsche European Open, actually with Paul Casey. So
yeah, that sounds about right for Paul Casey, though.
I mean, listen, I think Porsche can do a little better than Abe Anser as their spokesman. You know, I'm surprised they gave him all the money to play over there, but I don't know.
See. Listen, so like I get what Nagels is saying, and I'm typically on point with that too. Like, why are you avoiding the field? But at the same point, you don't know how much money Porsche just gave that kid to go across, or go play that instead of this. Like, whatever. Like, I'd take the money too.
You know, I mean, he kind of strikes me the Porsche guy too. He's short, you know. I mean, those seem like the types of guys who like to drive Porsches. So.
that's right.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe he can defect to Italy and play for Team Europe because they kind of need a little bit of depth in the back end there. Otherwise, we're having, I don't know, Antoine Rosner be their 12th guy. That's not going to work out well. All right. Number four, Louis Oosthuizen. I mean, he's been great. Yep. It's all around the green and putting, but that still counts. Like, this is now like a big trend. Like, he's like new Webb Simpson, basically. Just mediocre ball striking, all scrambling, all putting. I don't know when that happened, but it's here and it's permanent now, I guess. I guess permanent. So
yeah, I mean, it's been the last 6 months, right? At least.
Basically, yeah. It's his last 50 rounds. So yeah. Number three, Charlie Hoffman.
Yeah, dude's been
awesome. Yeah, he's been so good ever since Pebble. He's just been, I think his worst finish is like T58, but he has like nine top 20 finishes and like in some like good events too,
right?
So I mean, I think he finished what, second at Valero, he finished third a couple weeks ago.
Third this week.
So it was all Sunday, so he's riding high momentum. Number two, Jordan Spieth, he's been great. Yep. I mean, one Valero, almost one Colonial, so it's been good. And the number one, Victor Hovland. I mean, I don't think that's any surprise that he's been that good.
It is kind of surprising he's number one.
I mean, you have a second at WGC, you have a second at Torrey, you have third at Quail, you got a third.
Was he at Concession? He was like top five.
Yeah, he was second at Concession. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Like, I think he missed a cut, or he didn't do that well at Players, didn't really do all the great at the PGA, but like, there's some other big events. He was like top five. He's a very popular pick this week.
Oh yeah, he always is now. I feel like the days of getting good numbers on Hovland are gone.
Oh yeah, he's under 20-1 this week. So
is he really already?
He's 18. Yeah,
there's some funky numbers out there. We can talk about those tomorrow. But there's some weird numbers out there.
Mm-hmm. I've already put down a couple bets, but they're definitely there. So
I put two down. I put Reed and.
Hold on. Save it. We gotta make them listen tomorrow. All right.
All right. So, I guess you want to break down. Start breaking down the golf course.
But, yeah, sure.
All right, well, listen, let's do WynnBET first. WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get all in on your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promo codes, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today, and you'll receive a special offer for up to a $500 risk-free bet. Terms and conditions do apply, so go get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today. And I'll let you know what golf odds I'm using once I decide to put some more action down tomorrow.
Okay, there we go. Boom. All right, let's talk about the golf course.
Let's go. So I like this golf course.
Yes. Well, all right. So what do you like about the golf course, though?
I don't know. I feel like it's difficult. Like, I like the difficult courses. You know what I mean? Like, I like the difficult courses. Like, I know last year it played a little harder than it normally did, but I'm hoping it kind of trends in that direction. And Jack is trying to make it a little harder for these guys. I really dug last year's tournament. Obviously, Rom won it, so I really liked it. So maybe that's why I'm a little, that's why I like it a little more. But I still remember going back and when Bryson won it, I liked it then. And I think it's a fun tournament. Like, whatever, man. I mean, it's Jack's course, man. So, like, what are you going to do?
Is last year also where that stupid narrative was born of a Rom course is a Ryan Palmer course because they finished 1-2?
No, it was actually prior to that, and it, like, fucking gave it life, which, like, I was like, oh, God. And, the correlation hasn't worked since.
No, it's such a stupid trend.
I agree. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the golf course. So that's what everybody wants to talk about this week. I mean, if you go to my article, you'll see history. I'll give you a flyover of everything, which is now basically irrelevant because they did a lot of changes. So let's talk about the changes to it. And about a month ago, Murfield Village basically sent out the players and caddies a memo outlining everything. So I've been sitting on this for a month. Of all the changes they made. So, okay. high level. All the greens used to be a bent poa mix. They are now completely bent grass. Okay. So, that's going to change a couple of things. Like a lot of times you look at, like, places like TBC River Highlands or, like, I think, like, a Bethpage is, like, a bent poa mix. Like, if you're, like, a slave to, like, putting, like, metrics, like, how guys do on those services, you need to change your golf courses now. We'll talk about the bent grass golf courses later, but... Yeah. They're all bent grass. They add some new tee boxes as well that added about 100 yards to the scorecard. That's not a huge change. Nah. And that's over like 5 or 6 holes. Like it's a club probably. So yeah. It was 7,400 yards. Going to be about 7,500 yards. It's not a big deal. All the greens are recontoured and reshaped. And then all the bunkers were also basically renovated. So... You know, I mean, this was done, I think, because Jack has always been chirping about the governing bodies. Like, they're not doing anything about distance.
Right.
And I think he got sick of it and fed up with it. So he took matters in his own hands.
I'm Jack Nicklaus, goddammit. I'll do what I want.
Yeah, and you're right. It seems like he made this place harder. And it seemed like he made it a lot more challenging off the tee. So let's go through hole by hole about... like significant changes. Like most of them are just like, all right, we add a new tee box, we change the way of the green. But like there's some holes where there's some major changes. So hole number one, right out of the gate, they pushed out the fairway bunkers into the driving zone and it shrunk the fairway. They also add like a new like runoff like chipping area short of the green and they pushed back the green about 20 yards. Hole number three, this is gonna be a theme. They did this a couple times on this course. They repositioned the green closer to the lake and they removed a greenside bunker so balls can now go back into the lake.
Nice.
So there you go. Hole number four, they repositioned the green JFK style. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Back into the
left. That's what I thought you were going to fucking do. Come on, man.
Well, that's what they did.
It's fucked up.
So, all right. Hole number five, they shrunk the green, they expanded the lake, and they put the green closer to the lake. So that's the par five. I think that's like around the corner there. It's got like the double fairway. So they made that pretty difficult to hit in two, like, or else like that, we'll see about that. Number nine, again, reposition the green closer to the lake. Hole number 13, they reduced the fairway width and added a couple trees on the left. And then hole number 15 was the most significant change on the golf course. So that's the one where and that's Bryson's blow up hole where it's basically uphill to like an elevated like fairway. And then you hit downhill to the green. So what they did was they removed the lake, or there was a creek that ran in front of the tee box, just completely removed it. I mean, like, sorry to all the frogs and, like, tadpoles and everything that live there. Like, now you're dead. So they leveled the hole, though. So that elevated fairway is no longer. It's basically just flat. They also added new fairway bunkers to the driving zone, basically just so no one can just kind of hit over them. And then they, quote-unquote, edited the creek. In front of the green, basically just dug a ditch and all the water now runs to it. And then it's now next to the green to bring it more in play. So that's the biggest change
That's a big change, though.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it now plays shorter, but it's a lot more penal.
Yeah.
There's a lot more ways to get in trouble there. And if you're in those bunkers, you're not getting to the green in two. And then the creek right in front, like it'll be pretty easy to roll the ball back in. So, and then like other than that, they reshape greens, recontour greens. That's brilliant. I think the only hole they didn't change was 12. I don't know. I think 12 is the replica of 12 at Augusta National, which makes sense why they wouldn't change it.
Right.
There's a lot of holes that are like Augusta National there. So do I think this is really going to change a lot of strategy as far as like who should do well? I don't think so. I mean, I think they made it harder. I think it's a little more difficult off the tee. I think, you're going to have, you're going to have really good ball striking there. But that was always the case of this thing. Like, this was a tournament where you had to do a lot of different things. Well, we'll go through the list of winners. Like, it's a lot of really good ball strikers. A lot of guys did a lot of things really well. Like, there's not a whole lot of weak names to, like, you know, past champions. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe that's going to eliminate, like, some of the longer shots who kind of fake their way around the place. But, I mean, it's still the same thing's going to apply for me. Just, like, you know, really good ball striking. Like, you got a good length combination of length and accuracy off the tee. Good iron play. Decent scrambling, which we'll get to a little later. That might be a little overrated. But, I mean, it's smaller greens. So you're going to have to get up and down for par.
Yep.
And then it's fast greens. So I am going to ask my co-host once again, because it seems like it changes week to week. What do you think? So fast greens.
Helps worse putters, yes.
Thank you. And we'll go through the list. There's definitely some really bad putters that won this place.
Yeah.
And
fucking John Rahm last year.
Yeah. Well, when he was putting pretty well.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's when he could putt before he changed.
But there's definitely some very poor putters who have won here. I think like that argument, like if you look at this tournament, that's what really does it. Guys are putting on faster surfaces. They're putting defensively. And it's really more about like, all right, are you a really good iron player that can put it on the proper tier or like put it below the hole so it's an easier putt?
Yeah.
That's more important. I think that's why those guys end up quote unquote putting better is because they have just better looks at stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. All right. You want to talk about past champions?
Let's go.
And I got a stat at the end that I think might narrow the field down as far as who you want to bet.
All right.
So let's go through it. 2020, last year, John Rahm beat Ryan Palmer. He almost actually kind of blew at the end. Was he up like 9 like at the turn?
Man, they fucked him on that. They penalized him because the ball moves.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's why. It's not because of anything else. Because the camera was super zoomed in on him, and nobody could like what if some asshole from the fucking couch called in? It was like the ball moved. Fuck, that's I hate those people.
All right. Well, anyways, I mean, we all know who John Rahm is like great tee to green. Like last year, he was actually putting pretty well. He has actually a better combination of length and accuracy off tee than you think.
Yeah.
All right. We know he is. There's also the workday, which was like a diet memorial, but it still was, you know, it still played pretty good. Well, like, you know, it's some fast greens, like some of the pin placements were a little different, but Kyle Morikawa won that. And he is a terrible putter,
terrible,
but he ball struck the place pretty well. So, you know, there you go. Patrick Cantlay won 2019. He just does a little bit of everything well.
Yep.
You know? And he like, I think like if you look at every like single, like strokes game metric, like it just, everything was good. Pre-bulk up Bryson won 2018.
Yep.
That was before like he was, I mean, he still was gaining a lot of strokes off the tee, but like it was more well-rounded. Like,
right.
Kind of wish he would go back to that, but I mean, he won a major, so I can't really.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? That horse is out of the barn. That's never coming back.
I know. 2017, Jason Duffner seemed like he was dead and then won this tournament. Yeah. And again, that is a guy who struck the ball really well tee to green, could not putt.
Can't putt.
Exactly. I am winning. 2016, Dirt McGirt.
William Dirt McGirt, baby!
Beat John Curran in a playoff in probably one of the lowest rated Sundays.
I don't even know if I watched that one.
I don't even know who John Curran really is.
I don't either.
Yeah. So we beat him. But I mean, if you look at what he did that year, he actually was pretty good in 2016. So he's 32nd off the tee that year. He's 59th in approach, 30th in putting. Did a lot of things well. I mean, his one area was a weakness was scrambling. He was like 111th. 2015. Do you remember David Lingmerth?
The name rings a bell.
Okay. Yep. Ling ring Euro. Your bell.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, didn't even know. Euro, right?
Yeah, he's a Swedish guy. Okay. So I mean, really, the only thing he did well was that he was off the tee game. I think that week he just caught fire with the irons. Of all the guys on this list, he was an anomaly.
Yeah.
And then we get through like 5 really good names. So 2014, Hideki Matsuyama breakthrough win.
That's where he showed up on the scene.
Yeah, he did everything well. But in 2013, Matt Kuchar, we all know who he does. 2012, little guy named Tiger Woods,
who's that?
Won the same, what, like 7 times or so?
Something like that.
2011, Steve Stricker, and then 2010, Justin Rose. So, like looking at that list.
That's a good list.
It's a very solid list. I think the only guy I would consider a bomber would be Tiger, although that was late-stage Tiger, so I don't even know if I would do that.
Yeah.
But, like, I guess Rahm is the only quote-unquote bomber, but, like, he hits it so accurate, too.
Yep.
And, I mean, I think with this golf course, now, I'm not sure with the renovations this is going to be the same, but before, like, you're not using drive on a whole lot of, you know, a lot of holes. It's a lot of, like, positional golf. So, but there is something to striking the ball really well off the tee with your approach shots with all these guys.
Okay.
So if you just look at, and thankfully PGA Tour started doing this, like you actually look at what guys are doing heading into tournaments. So I looked at the last, everybody since Justin Rose in 2010, how many strokes they were gaining off the tee when they're approached by.
Done.
So on average, from Justin Rose to John Rahm, they're getting about 0.4 strokes per round off the tee.
Leading into the event or at the event?
Coming in. That was their average. Because that's how we can gauge things. Like what they do in the tournament, we don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
But we can only try and pick out, all right, generally, what types of profiles are these guys? So generally speaking, almost all of them are pretty good off the tee. I mean, the only guy who was losing strokes off the tee coming in was Matt Kuchar. But, I mean, you had like Rahm, Morikawa, Cantlay, Bryson, Duffner. They all gained more than 0.4 strokes per round off the tee. Even William McGurr and David Lingmar, they both were very good off the tee that year. So, so you got to be good off the tee. Iron play, they gained about 0.6 strokes per round with their approach play. And then combining the two, basically the magic number is one. So gaining one stroke per round with your ball striking. Now, I mean, like, you know, if you like a guy who's only gaining like 0.8 strokes per round, yeah, that's fine. You know, it's just an average. Like, but yeah, like you want to be, if you're picking an outright winner this week, you want to be close to one as you can with when you combine off the tee and approach play. Now, like I posted something on the article this week. You can go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com, check it out, where it basically shows like a relative skill set chart of like what guys are good at. And like it's really heavily skewed to scrambling around the green game. The problem is if you look at these past winners, like only Cantlay and DeChambeau were actually like really good, like around the green heading in. Like Rahm was like 60th. Morikawa was like 131st in strokes gained around the green coming into this event. Duffner is like 150. McGirt was like 100th. Lingmuth was like 100th. Hideki was like 140th. So like while scrambling, quote unquote, is important because these are kind of smaller greens, like especially when the wind is up.
Yeah.
You know, it might make it more difficult. You can't just go by what the strokes gain around the green number is because like a lot of these winners were just not good. You would have missed the boat.
Okay.
So when you look are just like when you're picking outrights, it really is about off the tee and approach play this week. You know, I mean, like if you're going to be scrambling a whole lot off the green this week, especially because the wind conditions don't look like it's going to be all that tough, you're going to be behind the eight ball. It's really going to be all about your ball strikers. And unfortunately for DraftKings, because of Fantasy National, it seems like every single ball striker now is popular. We're going to have to eat some chalk this week.
Yeah, it's fucking shit. You want to talk chalk city last week? Good God. Mm-hmm. Like chalk weeks never work out for me. I can't believe Whaley worked out. Like that should not work out. This, I know. It should not work out, man.
Well, that's
not
how it was. What, double digit Whaley?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was bad.
Unbelievable. And it worked out.
Well, it might be another chalk week because
I'm staying contrarian.
Then you know what? You know what you should do? Find cheap. Well, not cheap. Find low-owned good ball strikers. Right, they're just kind of struggling heading in, but their long-term stuff looks good.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
Like Chris Kirk?
But, right. Yeah, maybe like Chris Kirk. But like the problem is like once you get under $8,000, like anyone who shows a little bit of ball striking, which is probably where you want to go for this thing, is going to get a lot of ownership.
Yeah, I know.
The only way to really differentiate yourself is like going sort of the top, like where like a JT is not popular, but he's really a ball striker. That's where you might be pivoting. And then you might be eating chalk under eight, which is kind of gross.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. It's been working out.
It has been. So,
so gross.
All right. So what about correlated golf courses? I mean, obviously you got Augusta National. I mean, this place basically wants to be Augusta National. There's a lot of holes looking at Augusta National. Now it's fast bent grass greens, just like Augusta National.
Yeah, for real. That's funny. I didn't even think of that. That's really funny.
That's a pretty big comp. I mean, the concession, I feel like now is like a really good comp for the place. Like that. Yes, that was Bermuda greens, but those were really fast Bermuda. You know, some of the holes at concession were borrowed from Muirfield Village, too. It's a Jack course. I think that's fine.
Nope.
If you want to use a couple of the Jack Nicklaus golf courses like PGA National and Harbortown, you know, like I one of the things with this place is there's usually a high percentage of fairways hit because guys are clubbing down.
yeah,
and like an average to below average rate of greens in regulation. And that problem is like PGA National and Harbour Town, sometimes those are a little screwy as far as like if guys are hitting the fairways a lot, guys are missing. But just because they're Jack Nicklaus places and they're kind of, well, I should put a correlation. Harbour Town is like 40% Jack Nicklaus. So I think that's still okay to use.
Okay.
PGA National is full Jack Nicklaus. And if you look at Harbour Town, there's actually some good crossover as far as like guys have won there and guys have won here. Like Matt Kuchar won at Harbour Town, won here. Patrick Cantlay did really well at Harbour Town, almost won a couple years ago, has won here. Bryson's done one at Harbour Town, and then he won here. Colin Morikawa did well at Harbour Town this year. And
He won
the Workday.
Yeah.
Stuart Sink won Harbour Town. He actually has one of the stronger histories at Murfield Village, too. So there is a little bit, even though it's a Pete Dye golf course, there's enough Jack Nicklaus in that place where there's kind of like a nice crossover. Mm-hmm. You can use that. And then there's three golf courses that kind of you wouldn't think of where it just, there's a high rate of fairways hit, just like Murfield Village. And there's it's about average or below average greens regulation. One is Pebble. Okay. And there's some like Pebble comps, you know, you can go to too. Like, you know, Cantlay did well at Pebble this year. He won Murfield Village. I mean, obviously Tiger has won everywhere, so maybe that's not a good example. But like Justin Rose finished second at the U.S. Open at Pebble, former winner here. So John Rahm played well in that U.S. Open. Xander played well in that U.S. Open. Both those guys are pretty good at Murfield Village. El Camaleon for Mayakoba. That's a place where a lot of guys are hitting fairways because they're clubbing down and guys are kind of missing greens a little bit. Okay. And Corrales, same thing. So those might be three golf courses where it's weaker fields and you might get like a surprise like contender at Murfield just because they're used to being required to hit a lot of fairways and they're used to kind of missing some greens or like put a premium on like hitting the green or gaining like an advantage over everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Makes sense to me.
And then as far as like bank grass greens, if you really want to care about how guys do on the surfaces, like a list of like regular stops and PGA Tours, bank grass, Augusta National, obviously we talked about Colonial from last week. TPC Summerlin is bank grass greens. TPC Boston is bank grass. Sheshon International, bank grass, TPC Deer Run, and TPC Twin Cities, all there in bank grass greens. And then there's a couple other major venues you can probably find there with bank grass as well.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, before we move on to anything else, do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you hit the reset button when it's time to get ready for what's next? If I posted it on Twitter. Listen, I was sweating my golf bets and literally sweating to death yesterday. So I posted a picture of myself drinking a nice ice cold Coors Light. There was no better time to stop and chill, find yourself a nice little shady spot while kids are on a ride. Smoke a cigarette, drink a beer, and you're on for another hour. So look, there's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And so Coors Light is the one that I choose when it's time to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for that beer that is made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado, and as always, celebrate responsibly.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I kind of stopped you short about like who you already bet on.
Yeah.
So I bet on four guys. I will reveal three of them tomorrow. I don't think their numbers are going to move. We got to tease you guys a little bit.
Okay.
But there's one guy who I will tell you I already bet. And it's because probably the number will probably move. So a lot of this depends on where the tee time is for this guy, because we have talked about how in adverse weather conditions, he has not been very good.
Okay.
If you look at Thursday, it looks like there's going to be some wind in the morning and it's going to be pretty calm in the afternoon. But I saw a number on Justin Thomas at 20-1 and I just took it.
Yeah, you should have. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I will take the risk that he's in the morning and he's just going to get off to a really terrible start. But the rest of the tournament after Thursday morning looks pristine. No wind. Like, there's going to be some rain in the golf course, too. He played well at the Workday last year, plays well in this event, plays well in those correlated golf courses I said earlier.
Yep.
If you see a 20-1 on JT, I think you need to just hit it, just out of principle.
Yeah, I don't mind that. And I mean, obviously, you're not on social media, so you don't know. So, like, he's got some good karma coming his way, too. I think somebody posted it in the Slack.
Yeah, Munaf did.
Yeah, like that, dude. That's good karma. Like that's pretty nice, man. You know what I mean? Like,
How much is that for pit money, though?
I don't know, man. Who cares? Like, whatever, man. Like, the dude helped the dude out, man. Don't be like that, man. You gotta be positive, man. Like, not everything's negative, Steve. Even though apparently some people think I'm mean. I am not mean, by the way, at all. Ask anybody who knows me. I'm not mean. I break balls, and I sound like I'm mean, but it's just because of my accent.
Yeah, you just sound angry all the time. But you know what? There's a nice little teddy bear on the inside.
That's right. That's right. I got no teeth.
So anyways, so back to JT. So one of the big problems with him was his putter. He's actually gained strokes putting the last two tournaments. Tee to green, he was not very good last week. I got to think that's going to bounce back. And he did something kind of similar before he won the Players. So he missed the cut of the Genesis, like, by a mile. He played like crap. Yeah. Then he went to concession, like, got off to a slow start, and it finished in, like, T15, which sounds better than what it was, considering it's an 80-person field. So that's, like, 30th in any other event.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he won the Players the next time.
Yeah.
So now you go, he played awful Kiwa. Went to Colonial, got to a really bad start, made the cut. What did he finish, like 30th or something?
Yeah, 30th. He had a bad Saturday.
Okay, yeah. So he finished like 30th.
Like, yeah, he had an okay Sunday.
Yeah, so if the trend follows, bounce back this week.
Yeah.
So
I don't mind it.
Yeah, so 21 on JT. If you can find that number, I would bet it. I would feel a lot better if I knew what the tee time was. Hopefully he's teeing off Thursday afternoon.
You think,
but regardless, whatever.
It's yeah, I mean, so you got a 20-1. Like I looked at my two of mine. And I got 16 at both.
Yeah, yeah. I got lucky with one book that was on that had them. But yeah, if you are fortunate enough to have a 20 on JT, I would recommend betting it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I got two bets down. You already heard me say Reed, so I'll just say Reed again. I got Reed just because the number is disrespectful. It just is. Like
what number? I think the number is kind of fair. And what number did you get him on?
I got him at 35.
I think that's fair.
With Corey Connors and Fitzpatrick, you're talking about Patrick Reed is priced the same as Fitzpatrick and Connors? That's not fair. Nope. One guy wins.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I get it. I think low 30 is kind of fair for Reed. Based on what he's been doing, I think it's kind of fair.
Yeah, but I feel like he's a guy who could just turn it on. But I bet what day is today's Monday? Yeah, so I bet it this morning fucking while I was standing in line for some fucking game. So I was like, that number's wrong.
All right. I've heard Reed get bounced around a couple times as far as like outrights this week. So
already? Jesus Christ. It's already throwing me off. This podcast already out. Like I feel like today's Sunday, it's Monday. I'm gonna be so screwed this week. I feel so far behind already.
There is a competition with everybody to get their bets out before like anyone's like digested. Like
gives a shit. Like just get the right ones out.
Well, that's what we're for. Come a little later with the right picks. Yeah, after we listen to everybody talk nonsense, and then we come with the right information.
Listen, there's only two places that I listen to. That's it. I've killed off the other ones, and I'll read shit, obviously, but I can't listen to certain people. It's fucking
there you go. All right. Sorry. Nothing else. We'll be right back tomorrow with our picks.
Yeah, that's it. So hope you guys. Listen, we did pretty well pre-tourney with some calls and stuff like that for Colonial. So yeah, we did all right. And then in round betting, we did okay. Like whatever. I think I ended up like up two rounds, and we had a fucking another first round leader, for God's sake. Another first round goddamn leader. Like this is becoming some sort of weird niche. It's like I'll take it though. It was a boring one though. A chopped 200, but that's why you got to put more money on those. So yeah, tomorrow night, betting and DFS show. I will have time to recover from my Universal trip, and I will be digging in all day tomorrow instead of working. So tomorrow night, me and Steve will be back to break them fucking books. Talk to you boys tomorrow. Later.